This is BBC Radio 4.
In the past century, the world temperature has been pretty stable. It's gone up by just over half a degree Celsius above the level it was before the Industrial Revolution. But that apparently modest increase has already had consequences. And now the government's chief scientist, Sir David King, has told us on this program that because of the amount of fossil fuels we're burning, global temperatures are likely to be driven up in excess of 3 degrees over the next 100 years, with horrible consequences. Well, I'm joined by Tony Grayling from Labour's favourite think tank, the IPPR, and Tom Burke, who used to advise the Conservatives on environment policy and now works for industry. Tom Burke, how worried should we be, assuming you accept Sir David King's analysis?
We should be very worried. I think the important words he said in that were in excess of 3 degrees. The EU ministers have more or less said fairly clearly now that 2 degrees is about the threshold of dangerous climate change. So by the time we're talking about in excess of 3 degrees, we're talking about something that's very dangerous indeed. And he's absolutely right also to focus on fossil fuels. That means we've got to do something really, really urgently within the next 10 years to 15 years, maybe, about coal burn and the way in which we use coal. Otherwise, all the other things we do won't have a very much effect.
Tony Grayling, do you agree?
I totally agree. I think that we have got to try and stay to the EU's target of limiting global warming to 2 degrees. Above that, the impacts likely are so serious on human welfare and ecological systems that we can't afford to take that risk.
All right. You agree on the consequences. What about the causes? Or rather, what about the actions that should be taken? Tom Burke?
Well, one of the things where I think, in a sense, David King is sending us off in the wrong direction is he's a very strong promoter of nuclear power, and I don't think nuclear power can do anything very much to help us with that. And I see the Environmental Audit Committee, at least according to this morning's papers, is going to come out with much the same sort of line. The really important issue is first and foremost to do something about coal, then to do a lot about what about improving the efficiency with which we use energy, then to do something about the renewables. There's a beginning to be a clear sense of what the priorities should be, and I don't think the government is yet got its mind around those in the right order.
Well, put aside what this government's doing, you say do something about coal. The Chinese, as I understand it, are opening a new coal-fired power station every week.
That's absolutely right. And that's
can't
where,
stop them.
No, we certainly can't stop them by putting up barriers. What we can do is work with them, and this is why it's really important that we see ourselves working inside the framework of the EU to actually make sure that we first of all, do things here ourselves, no point us asking the Chinese to do something we're not doing, and then that we look at ways in which we can make investments that help China move that coal burn from its current pulverized coal to something more sophisticated and cleaner.
What about Mr. Blair's position, Mr. Grayling?
Well, I think he's done a lot to raise the level of debate at a global level. Never enough, because this is the most serious threat that the world faces, but he did make it a priority for the G8 presidency last year, and he's taking that through in the Glen Eagles dialogue. We did see last year the world step back from the brink at Montreal and decide that it would negotiate for agreements beyond 2012, and we have got the basis of a global agreement in the Kyoto Protocol. We need to build on that, and the European Union has an extremely important role to play in that. There wouldn't be a Kyoto Protocol without that.
But the trouble is, whatever protocols you've got, whatever agreements you have, when you talk to politicians about specific practical things, like, for instance, the growth in air travel, about which they could do something, they won't do it because they don't want to upset people.
I think there is a big public engagement exercise that we need to undertake so that people understand that governments will need to take action to curb emissions from all sources, and that includes aviation. And the government needs to set a lead for a start by getting back on its own target to cut carbon.
But they won't. I mean, when you talk to politicians, whether it's Labour or Tory politics, even David Cameron, who's you know the new green leader of the Conservative Party, they won't say, "Yeah, we've got to stop it."
But they must, because the threats are so large, and that means that we've got to be heading, I think, as a country, towards 90% cuts in emissions by the middle of this century, and we won't do that unless we get on the right path.
And what we need to do very much also is not present this as punishment to people. There are massive opportunities in actually getting the world onto a climate-friendly technology path. Opportunities in energy efficiency, opportunities in coal technology, opportunities in the renewables. If we endlessly go on talking about this as you're going to be punished for using energy, we're not going to build political support. So I wouldn't be focusing on aviation as the dominant issue. It's not the issue that at the moment is most urgent. The issue at the moment most urgent is how do we get our electricity and what's the best way for us to get our electricity.
Final sentence, Tony Grayling, is King perhaps being a bit defeatist? Are we bound to get to 3 degrees?
No, we're not bound to get to 3 degrees. Even with the technology we've got now, we can stay within 2 degrees.
All right, thank you both. I have to end it there. Tony Grayling, Tom Burke. Thanks both.